Karen, thank you very much. Well, I'm joined now by Professor Luke O'Neill, who you all know, of course, Professor of Biochemistry in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. But, Luke, this is different from our conversations about COVID. You're joining us from somewhere in Central Europe. Where are you?
That's right, Claire. We're just north of Frankfurt, actually, about 2 hours from the Polish border, with Medical Help Ukraine. They're an organisation bringing medical supplies basically into Poland. And we should get to Poland maybe early tomorrow. And then all those medical supplies get picked up and brought into Ukraine. So it's a bit different from my usual job, I guess.
Certainly is. And how did you get involved in this?
Yeah, I got involved because medical friends asked me to help out, really, you know, and it's a fantastic organisation. They've sent in 5 million euros worth of medical supplies already, and the great thing is it goes direct to hospitals in Ukraine. It was set up by a bunch of Ukrainian doctors in Ireland. Katia Kasharets was the leader of this, really, you know, and it really is a great example because a lot of medical supplies have been provided, medical equipment, and loads of it's gone across already, and tomorrow now we're expecting another several truckloads really to be transported into Ukraine.
So take us through your journey then. You're heading from where you are now into Poland, is that right?
That's right, yeah. We got the ferry over to Cherbourg and then we've been driving really since then, you know. And the big plan is to arrive tomorrow. And then 3 Ukrainian doctors are flying in from Ireland to meet us, you know. And then they're going to actually cross the border then with their Ukrainian colleagues. There's a set of trucks driving over actually from Ukraine with doctors on board, you know. And we'll transfer all our gear. I'm in a truck at the moment actually in a service station full of medical supplies. The big need, Claire, is bandages and all kinds of trauma gear, you know. And that's exactly what we have in our truck. In fact, the head of Medicine Sans Frontières, he said it's the biggest need now. It's the critical challenge to provide stuff for trauma because there's so much injury happening there and so many wounds and so on, you know.
Yeah, it's awful to think about it. But what you're getting and your colleagues there, the doctors, you're getting information directly from medics in Ukraine. They're telling you exactly what they need. So rather than bringing them items that they don't want and they've no use for, it's very targeted.
Yeah, they've given us a shopping list, effectively, which arrived over about a week ago. And we fill that list, which is great, you know, because obviously it's directly needed. And it's things like tourniquets. You know, we're talking like frontline medical supplies that are run out of, you see. So, of course, what's great is we can now provide that directly to where it's needed in the hospital. There's 3 hospitals hooked up directly here, and we're basically filling up their shopping list is the idea.
And as you said, this isn't the first consignment from the organised by the Ukrainian doctors in Ireland, because another one went in February.
It did, that's right. Yeah, there's been 2 articulated trucks have gone in, for example, and ambulances. Another part of it is a guy called David Hall, who's with Lifeline Ambulances. He's donated ambulances. They've driven over full of medical supplies. And the ambulances now have stayed in Ukraine, by the way, because they need ambulances as well. So it really is a very targeted thing. And by the way, Claire, our truck is provided by PRL and Kilkenny. They gave the truck to us to fill, you see. So very grateful to them. Loads of people are providing medical supplies, Clonmel Healthcare. Even Glennon's Pharmacy in Glastool gave us a whole set of first aid kits, for instance, which we have in the back of the van as well. So there's been a fantastic response to this, really.
So what happens? You drop off the supplies. They're taken into Ukraine by Ukrainian doctors and medics and ambulance drivers. Do you come back then with the empty truck?
Yeah, so then we're moving south then to Bratislava, actually, because I'm also involved with DePaul, who have a medical supply chain from Bratislava. So our plan is to drive on to Bratislava, give a hand there on our way back, because we can kind of drive home via Bratislava is the idea. And then we drive back, exactly. PRL want their truck back, basically, understandably. So we've got to get the truck back over again. We arrive back in Ireland, I think, on Thursday. Next Thursday, actually, is the plan.
Okay. And are you hearing that the efforts are successful so far? Like, is the group hearing from Ukraine that these supplies that are going in, that they're making a difference and they're getting to where they need to get to?
Definitely. Because, I mean, it's a terrible tragedy, Claire, anyway. Can you believe the 100 healthcare facilities were bombed, you see? And, of course, that means all the equipment was destroyed. The supply lines into these hospitals are broken. So they've run out of all these essential sort of supplies, I guess. And then the second thing is they're running out of meds as well. They need antibiotics, they need insulin. And again, we have lots of antibiotics to deliver too, and that'll be a separate trip. That needs a special license, you see. So they need basic medical, you know, drugs and medicines and so on, and medical supplies. And absolutely, it goes straight to where the action is, basically, and it's used immediately as it is. So it really is working.
And this is unlikely to be the last run, and Medical Help Ukraine are asking for people to donate, aren't they, so they can do this again?
That's the big message. You can go online. It's a GoFundMe account, Medical Help Ukraine. If people search for that, they'll find it. And we'll accept any donations at all, of course. We're getting lots of free stuff, but money obviously is needed to help continue this. And you're right, this is going to go on for weeks, they reckon. because again, the crisis is still very evident there, you know. Okay. And so the more stuff we can get over there, the better, really.
So that's medicalhelpukraine.com. Just while I have you, you won't have heard the Taoiseach on the programme a little earlier where you are near Frankfurt, but he was saying that he doesn't believe that making it mandatory to wear a mask indoors would change the current COVID situation. Do you agree with that, Luke?
No, I would disagree, Claude. I think that masks will slow it down. I mean, the big issue now is the healthcare system is under pressure, isn't it? We're hearing that a lot. Masks slow down the spread of this virus. And at a minimum, they'll drop the dose you're spreading between people, you know. And a lower dose of virus means less severe illness in the one who's infected and less of a chance to end up in hospital. So I'd be mandating it for the next 3 or 4 weeks. I think in Scotland, they've extended the mandate until Easter, for example, you know. And in fact, in Germany, Claire, we literally an hour ago, we pulled into a service station. One of the guys in the van went into the garage without a mask on. And the woman shouted at him. It's like, get your mask on, you know.
Yes.
So the Germans are maintaining mask wearing. Let's put it that way, because there's evidence they work, you know. So I think the next... We're peaking at the moment, of course, and it will go down. But the next 3 or 4 weeks, if masks were used for those 3 weeks or so, it should slow down the process and take some of the pressure off the healthcare system.
I wonder, is that all you think we need to do? Because Micheál Martin said, the current wave does not justify the return of economic restrictions or the restrictions that we had in the earlier phases of COVID-19. So what does the current wave justify, to your mind?
Masks are definite, and very good public health advice on distancing possibly for the next few weeks, you know. Stay home if you have symptoms. That's the key thing, you know. I'd be getting that out on the radio now repeatedly during this surge, you see. Just keep the messaging very, very clear for the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, the emergency...
But again, that will take pressure off the system, hopefully.
Yeah, emergency health consultant Fergal Hickey said this morning that it would be helpful if people were told now to work from home again if they could.
That might be a bit too disruptive, maybe. You know, that might be a step too far, possibly. It is very infectious. I mean, it is hard to stop. And all we can do is slow it down slightly, you see. Work from home could cause problems, in a sense. You know, but wearing a mask in a shop or on the dart, that's not a huge ask of people, is it, really? Or stay at home when you have symptoms. They will definitely help slow down this this surgery. Mm.
But it is difficult, I'm sure you would agree, to control this. And Stephen Donnelly, the Minister for Health, has made that point, that because BA2 is so transmissible, that quite extreme measures would be needed to contain it.
They would if you want to stop it entirely, and that could be too disruptive. You know, it is all about just decreasing the pressure on the hospital system. That's the key concern we have. The second thing I'd press for, Claire, is Paxlovid, the antiviral drug. That still isn't available widely, you see. That drug keeps people out of hospital, remember, because it decreases the severity of disease, you know. And I know the HSE are talking to the Department of Health. Let's hope they come to an agreement soon to allow Paxlovid to be used in the community. Because, again, that will decrease the risk of hospitalisation.
And that would work on that would work on this variant, the BA2, would it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It works on all the variants. It decreases hospitalisation by 90%. Isn't that a fantastic weapon to have? If our goal is to take pressure off the hospital, Paxlovid would be a great weapon to use along those lines as well. Now, I know it's been approved, and I think they're in the final stages of agreeing. It's complicated because of the pricing issue, and then there's also what we call contraindications, other meds, and so it's not simple, you know. But it's a bit of an emergency at the moment. I'd be getting Paxlovid out as soon as we can, again, to decrease hospitalisation.
Luke, thanks very much for talking to us today. Good luck with the rest of the journey and with your mission there with Medical Help Ukraine, delivering those medical supplies to Ukraine. We'll take a break. More after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.